What's going on, beautiful people? It's so good to be with y'all. Even though I'm in route and traveling and all that, it's still good to have y'all part of this show. So listen, I just hope y'all buckle your seatbelts up because y'all know how we do. We come here, we have great conversation, we have some laughs, we have some deep talk as well. So listen, what we want y'all to do right now is to get ready to experience this great, great, great conversation. And the experience starts now.
And now, a word from our proud sponsors. Weekend Radio Shropshire of the UK International Radio. Proud sponsors, Sean Tonk of the UK England. Tri-City's Finest, King of the Oldies, Ali Hackett, The Princess Lovely, and DJ Rugg. The international radio station that makes you turn your radio up.
We got some of the dopest intro music ever. Yeah. I mean, I sit here and nod my head hard every time that stuff plays, man.
Yes, sir.
I mean,
man.
Hard. I'm good, man. I'm good. I see you out and about. You being safe out there?
Yeah, I'm trying. I'm trying my best. Trying my best, you know. Sometimes it's looking a little heavy, but, you know.
Well, we need you safe, bro. We need you safe.
No question. No question, man.
But no, man, I'm good. I'm good.
That's what it's all about, man, yo. And yo, you know, we missing our brothers today, Thaddeus and Tim, as they out there taking care of their musical responsibilities, you know? So exactly. We never want to forget about our co-hosts, you know what I'm saying?
Not at all. Not for a minute. They always in our hearts and minds and definitely our prayers.
Most definitely. Most definitely. Man, listen, I hear that we got a heck of a subject to talk about today, man. The subject matter is amazing.
And
I'm going to leave it up to you to bring us on into it because it was your idea.
Well, I'm not going to say, I can't take all the credit. I can only say that I was being obedient and utilizing the gifts and being open to the partnerships that God has put in front of me. And that's how things always come about, right? So
definitely.
The theme for today is, are we paying attention? Right. And as I don't have to explain it to you, bro, because I know just in this short amount of time that we've been connected, I know that you were always very aware of your environment.
Yeah,
I get that energy from you all the time. I see it and everything and how you move. So I know this don't really apply to you per se. But that's the thing. Like, you know, it's so interesting how people move out of routine or out of habit or out of expectations or out of any other number of things and can't even tell you why they do the things that they do, right? Or, that's kind of like how we do it from a first person perspective. But from a third person perspective, are you really also paying attention to what's coming at you, the information that is being put out that you're supposed to receive? So it's kind of like a two-way street. Like, are you paying attention to what you're putting out? And more importantly, are you paying attention to what people are throwing back your way?
Man, I agree with you. Man, I think, you know, living in a society such as ours, you know, we are constantly lulled to sleep. You know, we are constantly fighting against those elements and those entities that wish to keep us unaware, you know. And that's a real thing. You know, some of the things that we don't pay attention to is because chemically our bodies have been changed, you know, by what they've pumped into our foods and, you know, fluoridated waters and fluoride in your toothpaste, you know, stuff like that. You know, it works on the pineal gland. It calcifies the pineal gland, which helps you in your awareness process. So, you know, it's something to know that, you know, not only are we fighting chemically, but we're also fighting through these distractions of entertainment. Even though they are needed, we definitely need these things of entertainment to help our lives go by a little bit faster, burn off a little steam, you know. But it's come to the point now where they have become the primary things in our lives. We'd rather be entertained than to actually deal with what's really going on and what's happening underneath it all, you know? So I really believe that if we really were more intentional, that we could fight against these things that are fighting against us.
You said something, man. You said, as always, you said a mouthful, but you said we are so satisfied to be entertained, right?
Yeah.
And it's amazing how we've gone from a society that at one point was an example of higher education to now having that been deteriorated to just being entertained. We have gone from wanting to be educated to wanting to be entertained. And
Most certainly.
the funny part is we're going to be edified either way. But what are you building that building on? Are you building it on a firm foundation, or are you building it on something that's going to on sand? You know, let's use that as an, are you building it on sand?
Most definitely. Most definitely. And it's if people begin to realize that even through the entertainment, they are educating us subliminally. You know, they're giving us what they want us to constantly be consumed with. You know, one thing that we never really talk about as a society is this wonderful word that I haven't heard anybody use in a long time. Fascination.
Okay.
Whatever you are fascinated with will have control of your life. And if we watch and see how they create these entertainment platforms, whether it be sports or whether it's through TV or media, all of them have an addictive quality to it. And it works on our pleasure centers. It works on our engagement, and they make things so palatable. They make things so tasty. So really, I'm looking for a really good word here, but they make things so desired to want to be a part of, that it almost seems like we're missing out on things when when we don't catch our favorite shows or when we don't catch the basketball game, knowing good and well that in this generation, all we got to do is hit YouTube if we miss it, DVR it if we miss it. But there is something about us being in the moment of when it happens. And I think that they have taken that power of attention and they've made us get caught up in the moment of things that do not really matter so that we do not pay attention to the things that really do matter. You know, because at at all times, attention is at play. At all times. It's just, where are you directing your attention to?
Mm-hmm. So, you listen. I'm sitting here. I'm taking copious notes right now because you are dropping nuggets like nugget after nugget. Like, I'm about to be rich. Before this is over, I'm going to be rich because I'm picking up all these nuggets. But you talked about fascination, right? And I'm always a fan of understanding what happened. My mother was a teacher. My mother was an educator. So I've always been around, you know, learning and the learned, right? Vocabulary was always a big thing for us. I'm a big person on finding like the etymology of words because I like to understand where they come from. And I was grateful. I hated it. I'll be the first to admit I hated it at the time. But back in fifth grade, I had a Latin course, right? Mm-hmm. In fifth grade. So, you know, you're talking about elementary, middle school. But yes, when I tell you that fifth grade Latin education was one of the things that has helped propel me in the understanding of things, even just that short snippet or tidbit of information that I got at that level, it was such a great foundation to launch off of. So now it helps me understand. It helps me, number one, it helps me be fascinated with where words came from, and gives me a desire to want to keep, you know, learning and figuring out, you know, how they evolved to where they are right now. But you use the word fascination, and I always... That's a word that you're right, that we haven't heard in a long time, just like many other words that we haven't heard in a long time, right? This society has gotten to the point where, if we're paying attention, this society has gotten to the point where everything has to be a buzzword. Everything has to be, there's such brevity in our lives right now because that fascination, like I remember being fascinated in reading certain stories, right?
Right. Uh-huh.
But to read a story, that takes time. You're not just going to get a story downloaded in an instant. It takes time. It takes you to actually put forth some effort and walk through the experience. To share in an experience that somebody took the time to write, and now you're taking the time to read, right?
Yeah.
That takes time and it takes effort.
Yeah.
But right now, we're in a society where everything has to be, you know, if you look at Facebook stories, they're 26 seconds long. If you look at TikTok, I think they just upped that to maybe 3 minutes as a max. Snapchat was another brief one. Everything is chopped up into these little snippets. And if we're paying attention, what has conditioned us to do is feel like we don't have to give more than a minute of our attention to anything. And how do you learn anything worth learning in a minute? If somebody took months to write a book, why do you think in a minute you're supposed to get anything out of that? Like, I remember I was a horrible student in the school, right? I got good grades. I was just really lazy. Right. I was super lazy, right? And reading was not fun for me, right? So I was a big fan, and tell me if you – yeah, Craig. So I was a big fan, and tell me if you remember these. But they had these things called Cliff Notes.
Yeah, yeah.
The little yellow books, right? So a book that's thick, they condense down to something this big. I'm like, oh, I can do that, right?
Yes, sir.
Again, I'm trying to do the shortcut. I'm not putting forth the effort. But I was a fan of that. The bad part is what I didn't realize, what I wasn't paying attention to then, was I was actually depriving myself of the skill of being able to get entrenched into a story, even if the story was of something educational. To learn some things that I really wanted to learn about, but I just wasn't really interested or eager to put forth that effort. And that was, we're talking when I went to school, and I ain't gonna tell my age, but it was a while ago. So, you know, fast forward to the day, everything is in a digital format. Everything is you know, we have a microwave. What's faster than a microwave now? A light speed mentality? I don't know. But whatever's faster than a microwave mentality right now, that seems to be where we are. And everybody wants to have immediate understanding with minimum effort.
Yeah.
Where they do that at? Wait. I'm going to hit you with the how, Sway.
Well, right. How, Sway. You know, it's all It's all about keeping you, it's a bait and switch, really. It's about keeping you distracted on the things that really matter so that others can continue to control. And what happens is while others are controlling, you no longer have control, lose control, and enjoy it while it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody's
redefined control.
Ah, well.
How about that? So somebody has redefined what control is, and the snippets that they give us, the tidbits that they give us, are now what we think control is, huh?
Listen, man.
That's a deep one, bro. I like where you went with that.
Listen, it's when we understand that even our attention is energy. Everything is energy. And you cannot kill energy, nor is energy birthed. Energy just is. The only thing you can do with energy is direct it.
Transfer, yep.
And what they do is they take the energy of our mind, the energy of our emotion, the energy of our psychological well-being, and they direct it to where they want it to go so that they can do so many nefarious things that, you know, when we finally found out what it was all about, we like, wow, I didn't know that, but it was happening right in our faces. And, you know, the genius in it is the fact that they understood that if we constantly bombard them with stimulants, something that constantly stimulates them, it's an overstimulation to where we won't be able to pay attention to any one thing but for short periods of time, which means it gives them avenues to move, avenues to do, avenues to make things happen on their behalf right in our face. You know, and it's you know, we live in a society now where if you cannot stimulate me and keep stimulating me and keep stimulating me, then I throw you away, or I throw your idea away. I throw away your existence as a person, your existence as a being. I throw it away. It means nothing to me.
Or at least the value in it, right? If I don't throw you away, I devalue you to a point where you just mean less than nothing to me, right?
Most definitely. Most definitely. And when they devalue you, you know, not only do they demonetize you, but they begin to define you. They put you in a box where you cannot get out until you do something that is just so explosive or so controversial that it catches the attention of someone else again. You know, it's a wonderful time to be alive, but for the unaware, it should be a scary time to be alive, because at any moment, your life is in danger. Your life is in jeopardy because you're not paying attention. You're not aware. You're not self-aware. Not just aware. You're not even self-aware. You don't even know why you feel how you feel.
Whoa, see, you about to go into a whole different topic right there. We about to go real deep with that one. Woo.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Listen, you said something about, you know, us being aware and about the program, and what it kept bringing to mind is when I was in boot camp, right? So I realized that in boot camp, the very first things that they did was they had to strip me of everything that I had learned so they could reprogram me to what they needed me to learn.
Yes, sir.
Great thing about it is, and I'm this is why I'm so grateful for the foundations that I had prior to going in, because one thing that I've learned is that depending on how strong your foundation is, they can only break you down to so far. They can only break you down to you know, even like when companies are drilling for oil or gas, or whatever, you can only go down to a certain point before you hit that rock, that sediment, that layer that's just saying, nah, try again, try harder, right? Yep. So I'm grateful that I had that foundation that stopped at a certain point, right? And what it did allow me to do was it allowed me to get rid of some habits that I had learned as a youth that just didn't benefit me, some very lazy or unmotivated habits that I had. But it did give them the opportunity, like once it was removed, it now gave them the opportunity to build anew on top of that foundation that they broke me down to, right? And it's funny, like I watched how I got broken down to a certain point, but I watched other, like I might've stopped here, but I watched other people get broken down to here. And then people that got broken down to here, they was the Marines that you say was crazy because they just brought in lock, stock, and barrel to everything that was said. They never questioned anything. Yeah. They didn't pay attention to, they really had, I want to say they didn't pay attention, but I guess it's really not they didn't pay attention. What they didn't have is anything to compare to, a basis to compare to, because their foundation was knocked down to nothing. So they were starting from zero. So there's really nothing for them to pay attention to because they're at zero. Whereas I still had a foundation I could have a comparison against, right?
Right, right. Well, you know, it's one thing that I always try to keep myself in mind of is always question everything. Question what you, every so often, even what you know, you should question even what you know, because there's deeper knowledge to be found, you know? And, you know, people, you know, a lot of times people will say, you know, you're so controversial. Jamel, you just controversial. Or Jamel, you things you talk about is just off the wall. You off the wall. And I'm like, nah, I just think, you know, and my mother and my father paid good money. And they did it in the home with me as well, as my older siblings. They made me think. My older sister, who passed away a few years ago, she would always say to me, why do I got to tell you what to do? Think. Look around. What needs to be done? Think. And I used to get so mad with her. But now I understand that she wasn't trying to program me. She was trying to get me to be self-aware, self-actualized. Mm-hmm. Know what's going on. Know what's happening. Because if you don't, you can be deceived. You can be tricked. You can be led astray. And then all you have to, and then you don't have nobody else to blame but you. To blame you.
Rev is controversial as always. That's why we love him so much.
Man, I haven't even scratched the surface.
You're right. But here's something just in what you were saying that prompted me to think, right? You used the word no like four or five times in what you were just saying. And it made me think that there is a great difference between knowledge and acceptance. What we know about something versus what we accept about something.
Most definitely.
And if you know something, it doesn't mean that you won't ever accept it, but it means you accept it on different terms. You accept it on your terms, as opposed to accepting it how things are presented. And again, that's something people don't pay attention to. They think, or I don't want to say they think because that's presumptuous, but a lot of people will take the action of, if I see it on TV, if I see it on something that has been programmed in me to be reputable, I'm just going to take it at face value. Right. As opposed to, like you said, ask any questions. I'm just going to go with the flow. I'm going to be a herd, you know, herd with the rest of the sheep. I'm going to do everything. It's just, I'm going to conform.
Right.
And I'm not, don't get me wrong. I'm not against conforming if it makes sense. I'm not the kind of person that needs to be, you know, hanging from the flagpost just because I want to be different, but I just want to understand why these things are being asked or why these things are being done. So that my desire, my thirst, there you go. My thirst of understanding is the thing that you said we need to do, which is always question.
Yeah.
And a lot of people have lost that thirst because, like you said, they're being so entertained. They're getting hit with these. It's almost like getting hit with high dose radiation. You're just getting bombarded with all of this stuff at one time. And you're like, okay. You're on, I'm not even gonna say information overload. You're on content overload.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You're on content overload, and it makes it easy for them in the mass sharing of that content to fit in what that content should mean to you.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, I really believe that when we begin to asking questions is the beginning of your genius. It's the beginning of your genius. And we never tap into our genius because we never ask questions. You know, even in science, they will let you know about science, that science is not an exact thing. These are theories that they have to constantly question over and over and over again. Because with more information, you end up changing the revelation.
Right. That's why they call them theories versus facts.
You better believe it. Because facts are static. Theories are mobile. You know? And, you know, it's like I always, you know, whether it's in church or whether it's in a secular world, in church I always tell them, there's a level about you that is agnostic. Because you don't know everything about God. So you will always ask questions. So you should always ask questions. Because anytime you're not allowed to ask questions in that context, in that religious forum, please know that you're being controlled. Please know that there's an agenda at hand.
And you're not growing at all. You are not growing at all.
Exactly. And then here, even in the secular world, you know, you have to ask questions as well, because these people, the government, this government experiments on its people every which way they can. Social experiments, psychological experiments, economics through even physically, you know, even when we talk about something as simple as the vaccines, those ain't nothing but experiments, because they don't know what it was going to do. They needed to see what would happen when you took it, and then they can make adjustments. You know what I'm saying? So it's like we are always being experimented on. So therefore, you have to question so that you can have a better quality of life.
Go ahead. Finish what you're saying.
You cannot have quality without questioning.
I love that. And I just want to jump in real quick because I want to give people another example of that, right? Talking about the experiment. And here's, if anybody has ever touched a computer, a laptop, or whatever, you know that there are consistently updates that are being made, right or wrong?
Definitely.
Right? The reason that they're consistently updates being made is because you were part of their beta testing. You were part of their experiment, right? Microsoft made it commonplace to roll things out unfinished.
Yeah.
And now, decades later, society just says, oh, it's just an update. We've given away control. If you're paying attention, we gave away control and expecting somebody to give us a finished product.
Yeah.
And now we've accepted the fact that whatever you hand me, I'm just going to take and expect it to change sometime in the future. Mm-hmm. And that is, and people, let me tell you something. That is not just in your computer world. That is in your world as a whole.
Most definitely.
Our expectations have been altered just in the way that they've continued to present things to us. And we have accepted those things without asking why, without demanding better.
Definitely.
Because it came from a place that we thought was authoritative or powerful or whatever we thought. And we just said, oh, well, I guess we don't have a choice. I guess we got, yeah. I guess we're just going to, you know, lay down and take it.
Yeah. And in turn, what it eventually does, it eventually produces hopelessness in a person. You know, anytime we talk about paying attention, you know, you have to understand that attention is a currency. Attention is the currency of the day. Yes. You know, that's why you have likes. That's why you have shares, because attention is the currency of the day.
Where's that shovel? I need a flag on the field. I need a shovel. I need it. Throw everything you got at us, engineer. Throw it all at us right now.
You know, and the truth of the matter is, attention has always been the currency. It has always been the currency. Because if you do not have people's attention, you cannot affect their intention.
Mm.
And that's what's happening. They're captivating us in order to infect our intentions with what they desire, with how they want us to move, with how they desire, where they want us to go, what they want us to read, even in our history books. Like, I'm looking at even today, they're trying to cancel certain words and cancel certain things so they can whitewash the history to make it look like that never happened. No, we don't want to use the term slavery anymore. No, we don't want to use that term anymore. We'll use indentured servitude.
Which is completely different.
They're trying to erase their mark in their scar in history. You know, or they'll tell you, just take down these statues. You know, one of the things that I was against, that a lot of people felt like, why you should be happy that these statues are coming down, when they were protesting last year, I said, I understand why you guys are happy, but these statues need to stay up as a reminder to them of what they were and who they were, so that they can know that they cannot go down that road again.
Exactly. And that was a prime opportunity for us to change the narrative from what they presented it to what it really was.
Exactly.
But now, like you said, now that in the haste to remove everything, it has erased a lot of that. It has erased the opportunity. It has taken away a teachable moment.
Most definitely. Most definitely.
I see you, Rita. I see. Yeah, listen, he on it. Listen, Revy Rev is on it right now, boy.
Yeah, I'm saying, man, it's like, That's the whole purpose of it. The purpose is to take away teachable moments, because they don't want you to learn. They don't mind you being educated. There's a difference in being educated and actually learning.
Come on.
Education is just about memorization most times.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're learning, that means you're being made aware of the formula of how it works and why it works, and how if you change this, it becomes this. You're learning the intricacies of it. And unfortunately, you know, we're so caught up in things that really don't matter. We're so caught up in things that really can't do anything for us, you know, and we're so fully invested in it. We're invested in power. Oh, what's going to happen on the next episode of Power? Oh, Jesus, it's so good. What's going to happen? Oh, who's going to win this playoffs? Who's going to win this? Who's going to win this boxing match? And most times, this stuff is already manipulated with an already known end to people who have already put their money into it. It's scripted, you know? And I'm like, we have to learn now that in order for us to get back to the place, and I'm going, this is definitely for everyone, but I'm definitely talking to my black and brown brothers and sisters.
Come on.
When it comes to us, in order for us to regain our power, we have to first become self-aware. We have to become aware of what is important. We have to pay attention to what is important, which means that you're going to have to sacrifice the TV shows sometimes. You're going to have to sacrifice the club sometimes. You're going to have to sacrifice just so that you can have a moment of clarity for yourself, so that you can know what's going on for yourself, so you can understand how you work, so you can understand why you do what you do, so that when you have this understanding, you empower yourself. You empower yourself with self-actualization and self-awareness and a knowingness of who you are. And when you do that, from there on, you can conquer economically. You can conquer physically. You can conquer mentally. And we're not talking about conquering other people. We're talking about conquering stages of life, stages of awareness, stages of knowledge. So it's very important.
You were touching on that, and you used one of the things that I've used before. Yeah, listen, I hear you. Rev is definitely talking. but you use something that you talked about power, right? And I'll be honest, I may have seen in its entirety, I may have seen a half of an episode, maybe. And I watched it and it just hit my spirit the wrong way. And I'm like, oh, I'm good, I'm cool, right? Power, empire, and anything along those lines, I just left it alone, right? It just wasn't something that I wanted to take in.
Right.
And it got me thinking about the why. And I realized we're being bombarded with so much information, but I also know that our bodies are designed, like our neurological system is designed with something called a reticular activation system.
Uh-huh.
Which basically, in layman's terms, is a filter, right? Its whole purpose is designed to, we're being bombarded with so much information on a daily basis. I mean, visual stimulation, verbal stimulation, physical, like touch stimulation, simulation. We're being bombarded with so much information that if we took it all in, our minds would just pop. So we have to have something in place that allows us to filter through and set priorities for things that are most important to us.
Yes, sir.
And like you said, with whatever you decide to give access to, it's like you're setting, I look at that reticular activating system as like a firewall for your life. You know how you have firewalls on your internet?
Yep.
That's the firewall for your life. Whatever you decide to give a pass to, whatever you let in, that's going to be something that you build off of. Whatever things that you decide not to, those are the things you reject. Those are the things that never get in. And far too many of us are letting the entertainment content be the education as opposed to the education being the education. You talked about learning versus education, and I could not agree with you more. And what kept coming to mind as you were talking was dynamic versus static.
Yes, sir.
Education to me is something that is very static. It's in a book. It's not changing. It's something that it's a curriculum that's been prepared. And now we go forth and present it to the masses. Whereas learning changes every day. Even if it's something as simple as learning a new route to take to work, you've learned something new that day. You've stretched your mind for that day. And I can't agree with you more on how important it is to stretch your mind each and every day. So it's a type, treat your mind like a muscle. Treat it like a muscle so that it develops in a way that makes your overall composition stronger. Because where this goes determines where the rest of this goes.
Most definitely.
If your mind is in a poor state, guess what? Your diet's in a poor state. Your health is in a poor state. Your finances are in a poor state. Your emotions are in a poor state. All of those things are going to be in a poor state.
Definitely.
But if you, if like you said, brother, if you learn to think, if you become a thinker, which is when I tell you one of the most dangerous things to be ever, and that's throughout history. If you become a thinker, you become that person that they cannot control.
Most definitely.
And you become the bug or the malware or the fly in the ointment or any number of other things that they want to categorize you as that makes you a problem.
Yep. I mean, that the truth of the matter is, you know, if you look at every great leader that we've ever had, whether we're talking about Jesus or we're talking about Elijah Muhammad, Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, each of these people, because they were so aware of what was going on, because they paid attention to the nuances within our society, they became targets of governments, you know. And, you know, people have to realize that, again, like I said, attention is currency, you know, and there is a price that the giver of attention has to pay.
Yes.
And then there is a price that the receiver of attention has to pay.
It's like the stock market, right? Like somebody's buying, somebody's selling.
Most definitely. Brother, exactly. And, you know, you have to make sure to invest your attention wisely. Invest your attention wisely, because if you don't, you'll be so overloaded and inundated with things that do not matter that you will cease to function. And in your ceasing to function, you'll become depressed, or you'll become anxious. You'll develop mental illnesses because you've given your mind power to something that does not push you forward or progress you forward. It's not advantageous.
It doesn't give back.
it doesn't give back. Exactly. And that is the main thing. You know, we have to understand that in our experiences, the answers that we seek are literally located in the subtleties of our experience.
Please repeat that, because I want to write that down.
the answers that we seek are located in the subtleties of our experience. Mm-hmm. But you will never get the answer if you're not paying attention to what you're experiencing.
To those subtleties.
Why am I going? Yes. Why am I going through what I'm going through? How did I get here? Is this advantageous to me? Is this giving back to me? How can this be useful for others? These are questions we have to constantly ask in order to stay out of that, the movie Get Out called the sunken place. That's the sunken place, that place of hopelessness, that place of despair, that place of depression and anxiety. That is the sunken place. And in order to stay out of that place, you really must pay attention to the subtleties of your experience and ask these questions so that you can constantly refine your experience. Refine your experience. Because if you don't refine your experience, eventually your experience will begin to define you.
And the great part about that is, and not many of us, I think a lot of people would agree, but not many of us understand how to employ it, right?
Yeah.
When you get into that sunken place, that is really the time to begin to think. That is not the time to just accept whatever's being poured on you. That is time, like you said, to start asking, why am I here? How did I get here? What things contributed to it? And what things now can I do to move a different direction? But because, like you said, you get so inundated with what is happening, you feel oftentimes powerless to make to affect any change.
Most definitely.
If we were like I'll go back to what you said earlier. If we were trained to be thinkers as opposed to being educated, then we would know that in those moments, we have to question, we have to start giving this thing a different subset of information, a different set of queries that are going to cause it to give us the solutions to those queries.
Yes. And what will help us even more is to surround yourself with other people who know more than you.
Woo.
So that when you have these questions, they can bounce things off of you. They can pull you up to another level of knowledge that you don't have yet. They can pull you up to another level of wisdom that you don't have yet by not giving me the answer. I don't want you to give me the answer. I want you to be a sounding board and then give it back to me in a way where I can understand what's going on within me.
Right.
Help me to deal with me.
Or share with me, like as I'm using you as a sounding board, share with me the questions you have that I may not have considered.
Yes, sir. Exactly. Right? Exactly.
I'm in this place, my perspective, like I always think about, I took a course on life coaching. They talked about, you know, they gave a ton of examples, but they talked about a guy that had fallen into a pit and a guy that was trying to help. And It's interesting when you think about the two different perspectives, they're both at this pit. One is just at the top. One is in the bottom of it. Their perspectives are different, right?
Yeah.
So from my perspective, I'm going to ask questions. Now I need you to respond from your perspective because I may not have the vantage point that you have. I can't look around and see, hey, there's a tree right there that I can attach a rope to. But you have that vantage point. But because, again, we're not thinkers, we're not even thinking to ask a different question. We've been educated to accept our condition and wait for somebody to come rescue us. Like, I'm just going to chill. I'm going to wait this out. Somebody going to come along, I guess. I hope, you know, right? That's how we've been educated.
Yeah.
Like Rita said, that's a time of reflection and a time to reflect and put in action. We're not conditioned to do that. We haven't learned to do that.
Most definitely. And it's not really that hard. It's just slowing down. Slow down.
Hey, listen, don't hit the brand new ones on me, man. Listen, I'm DJing now. Don't do that to me, man.
You know what I'm saying? Yo, it went back in early hip-hop, boy, and from the 90s back, they had some messages for us, man. They had some messages for us.
Go there. Please go there.
They had some messages for us. And
what happened next,
and because of the messages that was coming through early hip-hop, the system decided to get involved with the music and say, we don't want conscious music anymore. Let's talk about gangster. Let's talk about twerking. Let's talk about lips, fingertips, big asses. Let's talk about that. Let's get on that. Because if we get on that, we can distract you from what the real message, from what the real elements of life are.
One of my favorite movies is Brown Sugar.
Yeah.
And every time I see that and I think about, I forget the name of that group, the Spunky Dalmatians or whatever the two little dudes were called.
Yes, sir.
I promise you that is such a great analogy of how music was versus where the industry wanted it to go. And I believe, like you said, because they understood the impact. When we had to stop the violence movement, right?
Yes, sir.
We had self-destruction. There were songs out there
fight the power,
right? We had songs and groups that were really about moving people in a direction of unity and understanding and acceptance. I believe personally, it scared the crap out of everybody because they're like, oh, wait, time out.
Yes.
We cannot let that happen.
Right. Right.
Like,
they were waking up.
It reminded me of, I don't know if you ever listened to Richard Pryor back in the day, right? So he did a skit, and in one of the skits he talked about being a slave, and he was like driving like the wagon.
Uh-huh.
And he said, you know, I learned how to read, but I'm driving this wagon, and I got the master in the back, and I see that this sign says stop. But I know if I stop, I'm going to be in trouble.
How you going to know I can read?
Because he knows I can read. So I got to keep running through the sign as if I don't see it says stop, right?
Right.
And it was meant to be a joke, but there's so much honesty and so many things that can make you think, even in that realm, that just we laugh at it, but let's think about it. That was a condition for real.
No question, man.
Yeah, and let's think about it further. How have we really built onto that so that that doesn't happen again? Or have
right.
we?
Right.
Right?
Right.
Let's ask the questions that nobody wants to give the answers to.
Ask the uncomfortable questions. See, and if you even notice today, back in the 90s, it was the attack on the music industry. For the 2000s, it's been the attack on the comic industry.
Mm-hmm.
Because these comedians are telling so much truth in what they're saying. Since Richard Pryor, it's before him. They're telling so much truth that they're saying, well, if you're going to continue to tell that truth the way you're telling it, we're going to cancel you.
Yep. Oh, cancel culture is a big thing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They go back and take people's stuff from 20, 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 10 years ago on Twitter, and they begin to talk about, oh, we got to cancel you. They're trying to cancel shows. I'm like, people think it's just because we're becoming more, it's becoming softer. But it's not about, it has nothing to do with softness. It has everything to do with controlling the narrative.
So I agree with you 100%. And talking about cancel culture and the things that you're canceling. So I know you remember, and we have to take a quick commercial. So I'm going to throw this out there and let us think about it for a second, and we're going to come back. But
cool.
We realized that, or I think a lot of us remember when they were canceling certain Dr. Seuss books, right?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And they were citing racism and citing some other things, right? And nobody ever really dug any further than what was being presented. But there's more to that. And once we come back from commercial, I want to get back to this because there's more to that story than just what we saw. So we're going to take a quick commercial break. We're going to let y'all marinate on that for a second. Or maybe we're going to let you think about it and do some of your own homework. And by the time we get back, you might be in line with us. Whatever works for y'all, we're going to check it out in a minute after we get back.
Yes, sir.
If you want to create a drop, release your new song with a pop. Do you need an exciting intro for your video? Promote your business, products, or show? Contact us for customized digital video packages. For more details, email us at tkbsds.org@gmail.com. We'll be right back.
we're back. I think you got the engineer hype.
Yes, sir.
Hey, baby. Now you're getting thin, you don't care about your hood. Now, Wooly got a pair of my sneakers. Wonder where he got them because I hit him behind my speaker. The optical girl affection is the T-Drop connection. What makes it clear you love to smoke the wools. The black men, they come up to my door. I don't smoke, jump, so what they knocking for? Kids love to feel on your threads, got a steal on your street. Time is limited today. On your crack card, they're getting only getting the come comeback. Damn, Mr. Shane, you're the mighty key to bow with a wide-eyed look and a rotten teeth smile. Used to walk with a swagger, now you simply stagger from one spot on to the next spot on to the next spot on to the next. Let's get it, y'all.
We gotta play the edited version of that next time. I think the engineer got a little too hype.
Hey.
But hey, great song. But before we get too sidetracked, we left off talking about the cancel culture and how they were attacking the illustrator for an author of the Dr. Seuss series. And they were citing racial issues that came up in some of his artwork and in some of his portrayals of the characters in his books, right? And it prompted me, anytime something like that comes up, again, it prompts me to start to look. Because because of brothers like you, I have learned to not just accept what's being handed me.
Yes, sir.
I've learned to say, let me dig a little deeper. Let me see what else pops up. Right? Let me give it the next 10, 15 minutes of my time to see if there's anything worth digging into.
Right.
And in that 10 or 15 minutes worth of time, what I found was it was actually brought to his attention back then. And he actually then began to do columns that showed that he was anti-racism and his major form of anti-racism was against the Germans at the time and how the Germans were doing what they were doing to the Jews, right? The word escapes you right now, forgive me, but how they were just kind of prosecuting the Jews. And he did column after column after column about that. He also did column after column after column about how our society was forcing us to take certain medications, right? Like we're encouraging us to take medications and how that wasn't necessarily the best thing to do blindly, right? All of those things just prompted people to think about something differently. But had the same people that wanted to cancel him taken the opportunity to see that there was more to him than just this book, it may have given them pause to say, well, okay, this is something that, you know, we see there's a redemption there. We see that there's a reconciliation or there's been a redefining of how I perceive and how I portray things.
Most definitely. Most definitely. Until people realize that when we're dealing with older works of art, older writings, older TV shows, these are time-sensitive pieces. So don't be too offended. Just understand that this is what was going on and the thinking in the time.
That's what was accepted in those times.
Right. Learn from it. You know, and of course, they want to make sure that these things, they will cancel anything that will make you think and connect the dots from then to now. Because everything happens in cycles. So if you can pinpoint the cycle then, you'll be able to pinpoint what's happening now. Because everything happens in cycles.
Like you said, energy is not destroyed. Energy is merely transferred.
Yes, sir.
What I found is that energy without intent, just like water, takes the path of least resistance.
Most definitely.
But when you put some intent behind your energy,
you give direction to it.
Man, look.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You get that thing that the world calls, wait for it, authority.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Most definitely. And you know what? You also have to know, you have to know the ebb and flow of attention, intention, contention. You know, when you know the ebbs and flows of it, you'll know when to direct it and when to let it guide you. There are times where, as a swimmer, if you're swimming against a strong current,
come on.
You gonna have to take some breaks, and you take breaks when the current is in your favor. And when the current is in your favor, you let it push you. Or it's the opposite way.
It's the opposite,
when the current, right. When the current is in your favor, that's when you swim.
Right.
But when the current is not in your favor, you rest.
You ride with it.
Ride with it. Because you'll kill yourself trying to fight against something that you was just really meant to flow with.
Man, where's that shovel? Give me that shovel, girl.
And I look, man, and I see. I'll give an example. One of my favorite TV shows is All in the Family.
Love it. Love
one
it.
Of my favorite TV shows. And, you know, they were trying to start up talks on canceling that. And I said, why? It's the most racist show. I said, understand where Archie was coming from. Archie learned racism, but didn't want to be a racist. So he was going through the change of not being racist towards blacks. It was showing you the transition. It was showing you the effort of Archie Bunker. Sherman Hemsley, who played George,
come on,
was showing you how now I've dealt with so many people who are racist. Now I have to learn how to accept someone who's really trying not to be racist. And I still have my issues with you just because your forefathers were this way, or the people that came. So it's showing the struggle of overcoming racism. Anything that shows the struggle and the victory over classism or racism or any of these isms, those are the things that they're trying to cancel. Those are the things they don't want you to pay attention to. Because in those things are secrets in the subtleties of what's going on that will unlock great freedom in this day and time.
You got me thinking. And when you mentioned All in the Family, it like I always do, I go deeper. And I thought about the creator of All in the Family. And Norman Lear was probably one of the most genius creators most genius and creative people ever. Or I'm sorry, not creative, courageous. That's the word I wanted to use. Because in that day, to say the things that he was putting into these sitcoms was not really acceptable. But he was genius because he put it in a sitcom. Yes. And he knew that as long as he could get you to laugh about it, people didn't take you as serious, right?
Yes.
So I'm looking at a list of shows that Norman Lear did. We're gonna run some down, right?
Yep.
You already mentioned All in the Family, right?
Yep.
And the diversity of things that they dealt with in All in the Family in and of itself was amazing, right? You had Archie, who was what I like to call a passive racist just because he learned that behavior, right?
Right.
You had his wife, who was just accepting of everything. You had his son-in-law, who was anti anything racist. And then you had the daughter, right? Then you had the daughter, who was the educated one of the bunch, right? But she was the the glue kind of that held a lot of people together.
Yep.
So you're talking about All in the Family. Sanford and Son.
Yep.
Who dealt with entrepreneurship, but still in poverty, at a level of poverty, and a lot of police interaction. Right?
Yep.
Maude. Good Times. Good Times. Right?
Definitely.
The Jeffersons. And here's one that people don't really pay a lot of attention to, but it was still ahead of its time. And that was One Day at a Time.
Heck yeah.
One Day at a Time was one of the first shows that highlighted a single mother.
Yeah. Yes.
Norman Lear did that thing. He had the formula, and he did show after show after show after show to get that message across.
Yeah.
He was, and whether people realize it or not, they were learning, if nothing else, to think about things from different perspectives every time they watched.
Yep.
That's what I like to call edutainment, because there's a little bit of education as you're getting entertained.
Yes. Did he do Barney Miller as well?
I don't think he did Barney Miller, but that was a great one too.
Yeah, man. Like, those shows back then, man, they dealt with what was going on in society and how to get better. There were lessons that you could learn from those things back then. Today, when I watch Power or when I watch Empire or when I watch all these other shows, all I'm seeing is the 48 Laws of Power. And the 48 Laws of Power, that was a book straight on manipulation. Complete manipulation.
Just saying.
And here we are today, we've become so enamored with manipulation that they've made us forget about discipline. And manipulation and discipline are basically the same things. Except discipline is what you do concerning yourself. Manipulation is what you do to others when you can't control yourself. Manipulation is controlling others while discipline is controlling yourself. So now they have a society that's so hell-bent on everybody else trying to control everybody else that they create all this chaos while they continue to do what they want to do behind the scenes, making billions, trillions. Even in the stock market, if we look at it right now, I got me some stock in AMC. I've had some stock in AMC for a while. And I watch how they're doing things in the stock market. Everything is manipulated. Everything. We have the stock market. They have something called the dark pool.
Yeah.
I'm like, so there's always... We look at the internet. We have the internet. They have the dark web. There's always something behind. When they present something to us, please understand that they have something that is more
potent, more powerful.
Yeah.
More intricate.
We're just getting the scraps.
We're getting
the scraps.
I remember when I was in the service, right? One of the vehicles that we used, and it was the first time I seen it. And I was in the service back in the 80s, right? Mid-80s, late 80s. And that was the first time I ever saw what we call the Humvee, right? Okay. Humvee was an acronym, stood for High Mobility Multi-Wheel Vehicle, right? And when I tell you that thing wouldn't get stuck, it just didn't get stuck in anything ever, right?
Right.
American General came out with it, and they called it what we all know as the Hummer. But trust me when I tell you, the one that the public got was not like the one that the military had.
Most definitely.
Just to support your point, there's always something more powerful in the background than we know, and we'll be able to see it, or we'll be able to get glimpses of it if we just pay attention.
Pay attention. Pay attention.
That's all we got to do.
And if we do those, if we do those, that little, if we do that, it's such a big doors swing on little hinges. And if we just swing on that hinge of attention, of paying attention, we will answer most of our problems, most of our issues, you know, but because we're so distracted, we're like, you know, I learned the saying years and years ago, and the saying that I learned was, and I use it from time to time now, is that now people act like all they have in their toolbox are nails. So
no hammers.
Right. And then when they're introduced to a hammer, everything they look at looks like a nail. So they have to like. And that's where we are now. Everybody's just hammering away at each other's ideologies, at each other's ideas.
I'm gonna add something on to what you just said, right?
Yeah.
This is something we used to say. Let me tell you, I'm a man of many trades, right? I've done a little bit of everything. I've been an auto mechanic. I've been a carpenter. I've been in the IT field. I've done a lot of things, right? One of the things that we used to say in the carpentry field is, you can build a house with a hammer, but it doesn't make it a good idea.
Right.
just to dovetail off of what you just said. That's a great analogy.
And the actual saying is, in a world full of hammers, everything looks like a nail. And it's like, yo, we have to take the time to enjoy diversity of thought, enjoy diversity of artistic value.
Tell them, pay attention to what else is in their toolbox, man.
Yeah, you got a whole lot of stuff going on in your toolbox. You got screwdrivers and wrenches. You got drill bits. You got all types of things going on in your box. But the thing is, we don't take time to explore. We do not take the time to explore. And exploration is the I'm looking for the best word for it. Exploration is the lifeblood of attention. The more you explore, you'll find things that you didn't see there before. I've lived in New York all my life, and there's still parts of New York I haven't seen. When I get there, I'm like, where was this? Oh my God! Yo! And I'm looking in awe and wonder.
Right.
But it was always there. I just didn't take the time to explore. And that goes from that goes to relationships as well. A lot of people get tired of relationships because they haven't taken the time to explore different parts of the relationship.
Man, come on. Listen. You're really about to go into a whole other topic now.
Man, listen. Really, your subject prompted these thoughts. It's the fact that attention goes so deep and it permeates every part of our lives. Every single detail of our lives is permeated by attention and intention. Those two things, you know.
And don't forget your third one that you added, and contention.
Contention, most definitely. Most definitely.
They all wrapped up. They all in there.
All wrapped up. Because, you know, we just, you know, there's a song, remember that song, I want to take a little time to look around me. I want to know what love is. Right. No one can show me.
Right.
The first words were, I want to take a little time. Take a little time to look around me. Pay attention. When you really deal with love, when you deal with fascination, when you deal with anything, when you slow down and just look around you for a minute, take in what's happening, what will literally happen is creation itself begins to speak to you. It begins to unfold its mysteries and its secrets. Scripture, and if we go to the Bible says, great is the mystery of godliness, right? And I hear people quote this scripture all the time. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was in the God, and God was there. And he quote the whole scripture, right? And they still don't get that after he says, they hold on to the greatest the mystery of godliness, but they don't understand that right after that sentence, he gives you what the mystery is. But we keep on preaching the mystery, but we don't preach the revealed, the revelation of the mystery.
Because they educated with them Bible cliff notes.
you understand what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? It's the fact that they didn't take time to explore that scripture. They got stuck on the mystery.
Right.
And refused the revelation. So now when people don't look like you, you can hide behind the greatest mystery. No, it's not as much a mystery as you think it is.
Right.
Read the next sentence.
Right. Yes, that's all you gotta do. Like keep going. Just keep going.
Right. And that's where we are in life. Don't get stuck on these TV shows and don't get stuck on these sports events. I love basketball. I love MMA and boxing. But I also know I can't let that be the end-all, be-all for me. There's right. more to life than that. So I'll give it a little section, but it can't be a section that's huge because my energy needs to go to something that's more important. I need to know what's happening in my society. I need to know why you're doing what you're doing. Why are you down there trying to take away the right to vote again? Why are you over there? Why are you over there? And over 2,000 days later, Flint, Michigan still doesn't have water, clean water. We're not a third world country. Why are we still dealing with that? Why are we over? You know, when you look at all these situations happening around the world, it'll make you realize that, you know what, I need to redirect my life into purposeful, meaningful endeavors.
It really goes back to something that you just shared with us consistently throughout this broadcast, attention, right? And you and I had this discussion about the attention and the attention deficit disorder that exists with this country, right? Woo!
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So,
yes, sir.
And it's not just, and I'm not really speaking about the medical diagnosis,
right?
Because I honestly don't believe it's in me personally. I don't believe it's an issue. I believe it's learned. But I'm not a doctor. I didn't go to school for it, so I'll take that for what it's worth.
Right.
But you brought up Flint, Michigan, and you said thousands of days later, there's still no system in place for them to have clean water. And the major thing that's lacking is attention on that issue.
Issue. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Once the attention, and that's because people grew, and I hate to use this word, but it's true. People grew bored of it.
Yep.
People grew bored of seeing let me revise that. There were people that grew bored of seeing it, but then there were also people that felt too convicted by it and wanted to move it in another direction as well.
True.
And between those two forces, it just got passed on. They did enough you know, they threw enough paint on the issue and slapped a few band-aids on it, and they wanted to promote some of the things that average citizens were doing or philanthropists were doing that were addressing the issues.
Yes.
That were addressing, I'm sorry, not the issues, but that were addressing the needs. Right. Not the source of the issue, but that were addressing right. the need for clean water. Right. And they threw enough of those stories out there, the feel-good stories that made America feel like we were redeemed and that we were humanistic again. And then they moved on to the next thing.
Yeah, man.
Because the attention was gone.
And that's what they bank on.
That's
what they bank on. All these protests that happened in 2020, well, guess what happened? They said, just wait. Don't do nothing. Just wait.
Yeah.
Wait them out.
Yeah.
They'll be all right. Wait them out. And then here, let's talk about this one. Donald Trump is in office. He's running for the office again against President Joe Biden. And President Biden says, I'm going to address these issues for Black America. Soon as he gets in office, we get nothing. Asians get, and don't get me wrong, I love my Asian people.
They got a
and
whole
they deserve. Life. They deserve to get what they got.
Right.
But we deserved it. We deserved it too. And we deserved it before their issue happened.
Let me throw this out there because I'm so glad you brought that up. Whew, come on, I'm so glad you brought that up. How about you and I challenge this country to get to a point where there's enough acceptance that we don't need a damn month?
Right. Right.
How about we do that?
Right.
How about we think right. about how to do that? How about we figure out how to make sure that there's not one class that is in such a position that they can dominate the discussion and the narrative of how things should be? That this class can say, oh, you know what? We acknowledge that there was a wrong. We'll give you a month. Who are you right. to give me anything?
Right, right.
All right. I want, and it's really not for you to give me, but all I want is the opportunity to be the best person I can be.
Most definitely.
And I don't need you to give me anything to be the best person I can be. So the arrogance that exists right now, that a predominant culture feels that they can give you something, is something that we need to continue to pay attention to and needs to change immediately.
Yeah, because it's still the master-slave mentality. It's still the master-slave mentality. And you know, like I said, you know, we've been asking for a Black initiative to protect Black people for how many years? For how many years?
I don't know.
You know, we're in 2021 and Black people are still being lynched.
In different ways.
And the same way.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. You're right.
And I'm like, so again, I stood with our Asian brothers and sisters when they got their initiative, but we've been completely forgotten about. Those promises that Joe Biden made to Black America, they ain't nowhere to be found.
I'm sorry. And you're like, what?
Yeah, I'm just like, and we're not paying attention. We're not paying attention because we're so caught up in so many other things. Do you know that there's actually a Holocaust happening in the Congo right now?
Yes.
I've heard no news network talk about it ever.
And you won't until a certain demographic is impacted. Right? And that's the thing. And I always go back to the law about being on your cell phone. Right?
Yeah.
Anytime somebody dies as a result of negligence, it's a problem. And I agree that it needs to be addressed. But you trying to tell me that one person of a certain ethnicity dies as a result of negligence, and now there's a national law that says nobody can talk while they're nobody can hold this to their ear while they're driving. And that law actually spurned a whole new line of business in the form of a hands-free environment. Mm-hmm. Right? But how many people of other demographics were victims of those things and nothing was done? How many people today still continue to be victims of certain things and nothing is done?
Most definitely.
Just
most definitely.
If I could, and I hope with your permission, brother, or with your agreement, I want to say permission, that we can kind of wrap this up shortly because I do have some things I need to do. My hope is that we as a people, and when I say we as a people, I'm talking about we as a people who live on this earth, we as a human race, at some point will understand and acknowledge the value in one another, because we've paid enough attention to each other's cultures that we've developed an appreciation for it that helps build us. It doesn't mean I want to appropriate your culture. It just means that I have seen something I haven't, that I wasn't aware of before. And now I have grown as a person because, hey, I know that this is something that is part of your culture. That's an awesome thing. I don't need to take it, but I can appreciate it.
Right.
I can give it the requisite value.
Right.
And then we can have a dialogue that allows you to understand what I have in my culture, and you give me the requisite value for those things as well.
Most definitely, man.
That's my hope. But as long as, like you said, people are being entertained and people are being educated, the agenda will continue to move in the way it's been moving. And that's a disheartening thing.
I'll say this and I'll be done.
Okay.
Our greatest enemy as a people are comforts and conveniences.
And that's what capitalism is based on. Come on.
Comforts and conveniences. We're so comfortable. Most money. You understand? We're so comfortable and we're so used to convenience that we don't recognize the small things. You ever look in your neighborhood, in black neighborhoods, and see that there are less trees in black neighborhoods than there are in white neighborhoods?
Less or any, depending on which neighborhood you're in, right?
Right. And people are like, well, that don't mean nothing. It means everything, because you have the more oxygen your brain receives, the better you function.
But they don't understand the importance of photosynthesis, right?
No, that's a whole message.
They don't understand that. They don't understand the value of just what plants can do silently, minding their own damn business.
Brother.
Listen, you have stirred up a fire in me, man. I appreciate you so much for it. Oh my gosh, you have been a godsend in so many ways, brother. And I am grateful for every ounce of energy that has caused us to cross paths, man.
Definitely. Most definitely. Same here, man. Definitely.
But with that being said, we are going to bring this particular show to a close. But fear not, because we have been recharged. Every time me and his brother and Thad and whoever else jumps on, every time we get together, it's the recharging that we need. It's our opportunity to come together and say, hey, this is how we were beat down. But guess what? Now, my brother has resharpened me. I was a little dull, but I've been sharpened.
Most definitely.
So I look forward to these opportunities, and I am going to just continue to be grateful for every new one that occurs.
Most definitely. Same here, man. There's no question about it. Thank you for your genius, brother.
Hey, and back at you, man. And with that being said, people, we are going to be out for the day. You have had the experience. Tune in next time for the next one. We'll see y'all later.
Most definitely. Yeah.
tell your body how to move and feel. It can serve as bad.
I know you see me.